Praise the Lord. Well, we're on the second message on this line of preaching the gospel. And this message will be on prayer and companions. So I know it's right before lunch. I hope we would push out our spirit.
Amen.
Hope you would stand with me. I'm not only a gospel chicken, I'm also a kind of speaking chicken, I would say. But the brothers keep on telling me to speak. So let's take out our outline. Let's read Roman numeral 1 together. Brothers, A.
Prayer is the foundation to leading men to Christ. Before one opens his mouth before man, he must open his mouth before God.
Sisters, B. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people acquired for a possession, so that you may tell out the virtues of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light.
Amen.
You know, the main function as a priest is not to do any work. The main function of a priest is to be in the presence of God. And in this matter of the gospel, we, as priests, are in the presence of God, but we need to bring people to God.
Amen.
What follows the priesthood is the kingship. I hope when we see this matter of preaching the gospel, we not only think of an outward activity, but we think of living. There is an outward activity, and we will do an outward activity today. And there is a need of this outward activity. But before that, there needs to be a matter of our living. And we need to be ones who are one with our heavenly King. As a priest, we need to be one with Him. But why does the kingship follow the priesthood? Because after we bring people to God, we need to go to the people. And the reason why we need to go to the people is we need to save them. Not from anything else, but they are in slavery. There's a strong man that's binding them, right? We need to go with the authority of the King.
Amen.
All authority has been given to Him.
Amen.
So we need to be one with this one, right? So that leads into the next point. The people reject the gospel because they are under captivity of the strong man, the devil. Before the young people can people go to the campuses, they must pray and bind the strong man. The strong man is Satan here, and we are plundering his goods. His goods are these living people, right? So we have to plunder his house, release his goods. We must release these precious souls out of his hands, right? The preaching of the gospel here refers to our living. Our living should be our gospel, right? When people see us, we're already preaching the gospel, right? So we need to be one with our Lord, right? So we're here on the matter of prayer. And we may have different concepts of what prayer is, or we do certain things that aren't exactly, you know, do you have a prayer that you say, Lord, you know, you have to do this. I hope, but you say that for the purposes of yourself, right? And you have your own intentions. And we have good intentions, right? We want our families to be saved. We want our friends to be saved. But we need to go with the intention that touches God's will, right? You know, in the summer training, we heard that in eternity past, God is unlimited. And in eternity future, God is unlimited. He has full reign. He does whatever He wants, right? But in time, God limits Himself in a human being with humanity. And He needs someone who is one with Him that he can do whatever he wants in them. Only when this happens, he can move, right? So I like to read from the ministry, because the ministry speaks better, especially than what I can say, right? This is from God's Overcomer by Watchman Nee. God's will is like a locomotive, while our prayers are like the tracks. The locomotive is powerful, but it can only run on the tracks. God's will is powerful, but it needs our prayer as the tracks before his will can be done. God would not work alone. He has to wait for his children's will to agree with his will before he will work. Our prayer cannot change God's will. It merely expresses his will. God is the initiator of everything. We are merely the channel through which his will can flow. God ordains we obey. He initiates and we agree in prayer. We cannot force God to do what he does not want to do, but we can stop him from doing what he does want to do. Our prayer cannot change God's will. It only speaks out his will. No one can direct God's will, and no one can make him do what he does not want to do. However, what he does want to do can be limited by man's prayer. And I hope we would have the proper attitude towards God. Lord, we come to you. We give ourselves to you, right? And a lot of times you'll see that your will and what you want, God agrees with, right? But we need to come to God in prayer. And when we come to God in prayer, he works everything out, right? So you may say, well, then I don't need to go out to preach the gospel because I need to, this needs to be my living. It's not my living yet, right? So why are we going out to preach the gospel now? It's not my living yet. Why are you making me go out, right? So I kind of liken this to kind of working out in a gym. And we need to get healthy. And this is an activity. And we're just, pumping iron, running on the treadmill. Obviously, I'm not pumping iron, but... but, we're getting healthy. But going to the gym eventually becomes a part of our living. There's a purpose there. The purpose is for us to get healthy, right? Let's go on to Roman numeral 2. Let's read that all together.
We are going to be prevailing in the gospel.
Enlightened, exposed, and rebuked by the Lord. Brothers A.
The greatest obstacle to prayer is sin. The moment we take sin lightly or tolerate it, our prayers will be hindered.
So Isaiah 59:1-2. No, Jehovah's hand is not short that it cannot save, nor is his ear so heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have become a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear. And then Psalm 66:18, if I regarded iniquities in my heart, the Lord did not hear. And the problem with sins and all these matters, there's two things. There's an objective matter and a subjective matter. And the objective matter is, we haven't been cleansed. We need to be cleansed by his blood, right? These sins need to be put away. But if these sins linger, there's also a subjective problem here. A matter of our conscience if we don't follow the matter of our conscience, then our being can become shipwrecked. What happens is we're like the ship with our faith. Our cargo is our faith. But if we are shipwrecked, there's a damage that comes. And the damage can come to our faith. And our faith can actually leak, right? The more we take care of our conscience, the stronger our faith will be, right? We need to take care of all these matters. And a lot of times we don't preach the gospel because we feel guilty about something. Satan comes and accuses us. But we need to be ones who confess. We've talked about this a lot in all these matters, you know, the cycle of life. You know, all these messages are just interlinked together. This is a matter of our living, and we need to take life to people, right? Let's read all together B. So yes, we have this matter of an activity, and but one time someone in the life messages, there was a question and answer time with Bro Lee, and one person asked, what about this matter of being in season and out of season? And he says, if we are contacting the Lord, we are preaching the gospel all the time. And this is just like abiding in the vine. As long as we're abiding in the vine, we bear fruit, right? So we need to be ones who bear fruit all the time. So I'd like to give, let me ask, or let me tell you something. I'm going to tell you what the best verse is to preach the gospel, okay? The best verse, okay? Do you know what the best verse is to preach the gospel? It's whatever you've been enjoying that morning. This is fresh, right? You need to give the fresh fruits to the people, right? The fresh food to the people, right? So here's a negative example. When I was in college, and I'm also an anteater, like Brother Ricky. One time after a midterm, me and my friend were walking in the park in Irvine, and we were just down. And we just totally bombed this midterm. And he turns to me. And about this time, during this time, I wasn't really contacting the Lord as much as I should have been. And he turns to me and says, Patrick, what's the meaning of human life? And if you get this question today, gold, right? Like, yes, you know, I have something here, you know? But I hadn't been contacting the Lord, and my gospel was kind of very low. very low. But if I had been enjoying the Lord, I'd said, you know, my life is full of meaning, right? Here's what I've been enjoying today. This is what makes my life full of meaning. I love the Lord Jesus, right? And, you know, even if I just said, I love the Lord Jesus, you know, it doesn't matter what happened that day, because I was contacting the Lord. Because I was one with the Lord, it didn't matter what the circumstances were. If I had been there in the flow, I would have been able to flow something out to that, my friend. The good news is he eventually got saved. Not through me, but through many other transactions, right? So the last thing I'd like to share is this experience. Even in the matter of, it doesn't, you know, what saves, we are saving people from captivity, right? And it doesn't matter, sometimes it doesn't matter what we say, how much we mess up. If we're one with, you know, we're going to talk about companions. If we're one with one another in prayer, people will be saved, even if you say the wrong things. So when I was in the training, I had this gospel partner. And I remember I saw him before I knew he was on my team. I said, I hope that brother's not on my team. And then when we were on the same team, I said, I hope he's not my gospel partner. We are so different, right? But he's a nice brother, but we're just so different, right? And but we prayed a lot, and we were one. And so one time we had this appointment, and we've been praying for this one contact for him to get baptized. And so we were going through the Bible, and you know what Mark 16:16 says? It says, he who is saved and is baptized, or he who is, believes and is baptized shall be saved. But we couldn't find the verse. And we kept on going, and I knew it was the same chapter number with the same verse number. And I knew it was in Mark, and so did he. So I started with Mark I knew it wasn't 1:1, so I started with Mark 4:4. He continued on 5:5. Then I went on 6:6, and we got about to 9:9, I think, and we said, and then we said, yeah, forget it. So, but because there was the impact there of prayer and the oneness there of prayer, he got baptized. And we rejoiced, even without preaching any verses, right? Or at least the right reference of verses, right? So if there is to be impact, and if there is to be if there's to be some kind of results, even, but we're not here for results necessarily. We get saved actually when we go preach the gospel, but we need to be ones who take care of all the blockages in our being, and who are one with the Lord.
Two together.
For there to be power and impact in preaching the gospel, first we have to pray. If we are going to be prevailing in the gospel, we need to go to the Lord every day in prayer to get ourselves adjusted, cleansed, enlightened, exposed, and rebuked by the Lord.
So just to strengthen this point a little bit, I don't know if you have this experience, but when we go on the gospel to contact people, as soon as we begin speaking for the Lord, does your conscience not sometimes just light up with my attitude this morning, my living, the kind of person I am? Does that happen to you? And I just like to repeat this point again. It is so important that before we open our mouth toward man, we must firstly open our mouth toward God. We need to go to the Lord and get ourselves enlightened, cleansed, make sure there's nothing between. But even when we do that, God may not be rebuking us, enlightening us, adjusting us. We may have cleared everything with Him. And then we may begin to go to contact people, and the enemy will come, and he will disguise himself as God, and he will say things like, "You're just bad. You're the wrong person. Not today. That's the wrong thing." And we need to also be able to realize when that is not from God, but it is from the enemy, and we need to reject that. So anyway, I just like to say that point to strengthen. So important that we open our mouth before God, before we open our mouth before man. This outline is on prayer and companions, and this actually was two outlines and has been put together to be one. But as I considered it, these two are very related. Like I said, surely our gospel preaching must begin with opening our heart and our mouth, and being filled with the Lord. And I've been impressed through the fellowship of the brothers that this is really God's thought, is that we're channels. And He wants to come as the divine life and enter our being and eventually fill our being and pass through our being toward other people, right? What's fellowship, right? Fellowship is God moving into you and through you. And so the gospel is really nothing more than being a channel of that life, right? And bringing that life to others in the way of fellowship. So, anyway, once this happens, right, once man has opened himself and been filled, we need to see that there's a specific way or a means or a channel that God would really like for that flowing out to happen. And that way is the way of companionship, the way of fellowship. And so how about we just read Romans 3 and A all together. Amen. We must make the decision
to pick up some others as companions, looking to the Lord and praying for this.
So you can underline that word, make the decision there. So the Roman numeral point is that the way for the gospel to be prevailing is for the Lord to be able to group us together. That's where the impact will come. But then it says we must make the decision. And I would, I wonder why that's here. But I think it might be, checking with my own experience, because that's not usually our way. Usually our way is to take the way of doing things by ourselves. You know, if you are forced to do something with somebody else, it's just not going to be as easy for you, right? I would rather just let me fix it, just move over and just let me fix it. It's harder maybe to do it with somebody else. But we have to see that this is really God's way. And so we need to make the decision to pick up some companions. So I'm going to labor on this point just a little bit here. I'd like to impress you about this way of companions. So in Matthew chapter 4, when the Lord came to the disciples and called them, it says that when he came to them, what were they doing? They were casting a net and they were fishermen. And when he came to them, he said, "Come after me and I will make you fishers of men." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. And he went on from there and eventually he met James and John. Same thing. They were mending their nets. He called them, they left, and they followed him. So here the Lord's calling of them is in this context that he wants to make them fishers of men. The Lord wants to make us all fishers of men. So I studied this matter of fishing just a little bit in the New Testament. And I found something quite striking. I could only find in the New Testament one example of somebody fishing with a pole. I just read these verses because I wanted to impress you with the point about nets. It seems like everybody in the New Testament is fishing with nets except for this one person. And if you can find another one, you can come tell me. I may be wrong, but who was that one person? Peter. And do you remember why? Why he was fishing with a pole? He started with a net, the Lord called him, and later on he found himself fishing with a pole. So what was that about? Okay, so you're right. It's the temple tax. Matthew 17, they come to Capernaum, and those who collect the temple tax, they come to Peter, and they say, "Does your master, does he pay the temple tax?" And he said, "Yes." You know, he didn't even contact the Lord about that. And eventually the Lord asked him, he said, "Do the sons have to pay to be in their father's house? Or is it the strangers who have to pay?" And the answer, of course, is the strangers. You don't have to pay to be in your father's house. Peter didn't realize that. He was so quick, right? He said something without checking with the Lord, and he said the wrong thing. So eventually what the Lord did is, for his perfecting, for his instruction, and for his learning, he told him to take this hook and go and cast it in the ocean and wait until he caught a fish. There's no bait on this hook. It's just him and an empty hook. Anyway, he said, eventually you'll catch a fish, and that fish will have a stater in his mouth, and you can use that to pay for me. So anyway, I got quite impressed by this point. Fishing with a pole in this context is kind of a discipline for a mistake. But in God's view, the way he likes to fish is he likes to take the way of fishing with nets. Nets. And that was the view when he was calling these disciples, these fishers of men, is that he was going to build them together as companions so that together they could catch many fish. And on the day of Pentecost, thousands, right? Thousands were hauled in. And more and more and more, there's millions. Okay, so that was quite an impressive point to me. And then I continued studying a little bit. In Mark chapter 6, you can write this down, verse 7, it's not there. This is where the Lord called 12 to him and began to send them out two by two. And it says that he gave them authority over the unclean spirits. So here you can see God's way is to take them and at least group them with one other person. He sends them out two by two. Something that was quite impressive to me as I studied this time is that it says he gave them authority over the unclean spirits. So you're going to go on the campus and saints, you're going to contact unclean spirits. All manner of people, right? And I was impressed by reading this that the authority to rule and to have impact in the presence and over those unclean spirits, that was given in the context of being grouped. That was impressive to me. And I think I'll say more about it. It will make more sense here in a minute. But anyway, important that the sending is with companions, and the authority in this verse you can see is also in the context of companions. Okay, another verse that's not there, you can write this, is Ecclesiastes 4, 9 through 12. Recently, a number of us in some fellowship really enjoyed these verses. They were quite fresh to us. And I'll just read them to you for the sake of time. Ecclesiastes 4, 9 through 12. It says, "Two are better than one." How about that? Two are better than one. Why? Two are better than one. Why? Because they have a good reward for their labor. That was impressive. "For if they fall, the one will lift up his companion. But woe to the one who falls and does not have another to lift him up." Right? Eventually it goes on to say, "While a man may prevail against the one, the two will withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken." And the point that was so impressive to many of us this last time as we looked at these verses is that the first thing it says about these two is that they have a good reward for their labor. Every time I ever read that verse before, I thought two are better than one in case we get attacked. You know, we something happens, then I'll have a companion. He can lift me up if I fall. But the first thing it says here is that they have a good reward for their labor. And so what impressed me very much is that the Lord puts you together with somebody else. This first thought here is that you're going to accomplish something together, right? You're going to serve together, and you're going to have a good reward for that. Okay, the next verse I would point you to is John 15, 16. And this is referenced in here a number of places. But here it says, this is the chapter about the vine, abiding in the vine, right? You didn't choose me, but I chose you. I put you in the vine. Okay, here's what it says. You didn't choose me, but I chose you, and I set you that you should go forth, and that you should bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain. Okay, so putting all this together, the Lord wants you to be fishers of men. If you're fishing with a pole, not so good, right? Better to be fishing with a net. He's going to send you out two by two. And in that sending, there's authority. And by the way, two are better than one, right? There's a good reward for your labor. And if you fall, you'll be really glad the Lord gave you a two, right? Okay, eventually, He chose you and He set you that you would bear fruit. But His setting of you, I like us all to be impressed, is with a companion. It's with somebody else. Okay, so anyway, I just had a little burden on this point that the gospel is actually a warfare. When we enter into the gospel, whether it's actually going out on the campus, whether it's our roommates, our family, our classmates, we have to be impressed that this is a warfare. And Satan would much prefer that we would just sit, right, in our chairs. But as soon as we begin to be active, it says in the Bible that he has a house. He's a strong man. And what you're doing, that activity, is going to plunder his house. So he's not going to sit idly by as we do this. And so we just need to see that as soon as we take this way, there's going to be a battle. Whether it's wearing out, right? Whether there's distraction, whether there's persecution, temptation. He's going to do something, right? And so for this, brothers and sisters, we really need companions. We don't know our flesh. We don't know, as young people, what we're capable of. We probably haven't had that many failures. So anyway, I would just say, take this as a word from somebody who's had a couple more failures. You need companions. When that happens, you will be so thankful that the Lord has companionized you. Okay, just a small example. Maybe the brothers will appreciate this more, but even the sisters, when I was in college, I wanted to get in shape, like our brother shared, pump iron, lift weights, all of this. And when I made that decision by myself to just go, how often do you think it actually happened? I think January 1st, 2nd, 3rd, and probably by the 5th. That was it. It was just the angels who were watching. And so anyway, but I took this other advice one time, which is one of my college roommates. Let's go together. Let's be workout buddies. And anyway, it didn't continue for super long, but it was much longer. And what I found out is it helped me a lot that somebody was going to knock on my door every day. And so I learned that companionship will help me stay faithful, right? It will keep me going. And so we need somebody who will knock on our spiritual door. Amen. Hey, it's time to contact the Lord. It's time to contact man, right? So anyway, companions. And then on this point, I would like to also say this other point. So you may agree with me. You may say, that's right, I need companions. That's God's way. You may have the feeling, I'm going to go home and I'm going to get a companion. And we might find, well, anyway, don't be too choosy about who your companions are. A lot of times we hear this word and we go home and we're like, not that brother. He just said it himself, right? He was like, anybody on my team except for him. Well, the Lord knew. That's who you need to be with. Okay. Don't be so choosy. You may find yourself a month goes, you may ask the Lord right now. Let's just say, Lord, I want a companion. Give me a companion, a spiritual companion. And you may go home and start ruling everybody out. And as soon as you start doing that, eventually you've ruled out everybody but yourself. The Lord is like, unless I can pair you with yourself, then there's no choice, right? So don't be too choosy. If a month goes by, if 2 months is going by, and there's just nobody, it might be that your eyes just that aren't that open. The Lord is giving you someone. You're just not that willing to be companionized with that person. So I'm not saying don't have discernment. You should pray about it. There's some of us, and we know this, we shouldn't be grouped together, right? Brothers, do you know there's some brothers you shouldn't be grouped with? It's not good when y'all get together. Okay. That's the case, especially with the young ones, right? You know, the fifth grade boys, this one and this one have to be on opposite sides of the room. Okay. It may be that way with you. So it may be good to ask some experienced saints, you know, is this good? Is this good? Should he and I begin to, you know, preach the gospel, spend a lot of time together? It may be not so good. Anyway, so my point here is just don't be choosy. The Lord let God put Judas with him. You know, he was willing to work with whoever, right? I'm not saying we need unbelievers as our companions, but the point is let's be open, right? Let's be open. Okay, let's all read B together. Okay, so we should not just pick a companion. Okay, Matt, let's go. Let's go preach the gospel. Hey, what's your name again?
Matt.
Okay. This shouldn't be our way, right? This shouldn't be our way, right? I don't even know this person yet, right? We should take some time, Matt and I, to pray together, get to know one another in a proper way. So we're going to talk about that a little bit here. How about we read B1 together? So our spiritual status, our condition, what is this? Right, this may be, I just got saved yesterday. This is my spiritual status. I'm so happy. That's my present condition. It's wonderful. I just got saved. I have no idea what's going on. But that's my present situation. It may be this. It may be, brother, I got saved a long time ago, and I believed in the Lord, and I went through a lot of things. And actually, I'm kind of open, but not that open right now. And can we pray about that? Right? I haven't read the Bible in a week, a month, a year. I've never read the Bible. I don't like to pray. I don't like to pray out loud, right? This is beginning to open one another in a proper way. Then the Lord can begin to put you together, right? You can begin to blend, know one another, pray with one another. This kind of gospel is actually the most impactful when two people contact you and they know each other and they love each other. They may be very different, but they are not strangers and they have something that you want, right? Well, how do you build that up? Well, this is the point here. And I have also a little burden here to talk about what this means. I would like to compare. There is something called a proper spiritual companionship, and there is something called a natural relationship. And our brother touched on this a little bit last night when he talked about the meal offering. And the meal offering, there's all those positive things. What are they? Say them with me. Okay, and there's some things that shouldn't be in there. And what were those? So leaven is sin, right? Anything negative. And the honey points to natural affection, natural sweetness, right? And the thing about honey, the reason you can't put this in the meal offering is because it can ferment, it can rot, and it can ruin the whole meal offering, right? You know, you look online and they say, hey, bee honey, it never ferments. It can't go bad, right? They say that. But actually, the truth is it can. If you leave it open, it will start to crystallize. Bacteria will get in there. It will go bad. So when you add honey to the meal offering, this symbolizes natural affection. So what is some examples of things that are natural affection or might bring you into a natural relationship? I just made a list here. One of them, you can write this, is having the same likes and dislikes. Maybe you would say, this is going to be my spiritual companion because we like to go shopping at the same place. We have the same taste and everything. It just fits. It's so good. We can be companions. Or maybe we dress the same. Or brothers, hey, maybe we play the same sports. This brother plays basketball. Man, we can play basketball together. We can be companions, right? We have so much in common. It just works. Or maybe video games. I don't know. Okay, these kind of things are actually, that becomes your fellowship. Like our brother Vern said, football could become your fellowship. That could become your center, right? And so that is something of honey. That is something that can actually ruin your spiritual companionship. You like the Patriots? Oh, thought we could be brothers, right? You see what I mean? Okay, that's just kind of a lighthearted example. But really, this kind of thing, you'll find, it opens the door for offense to come in. You have another center other than Christ. You get distracted. Okay, what about culture? We grew up in the same culture, the same background. We just relate to one another, right? Culture. Pretty soon, what you might find out is that group of people around you, they're all the same, right? They're all the same. And in the church life, now there's a little faction, a little sect, a little group. You have a clique there. Is that a clique? Right? Now there's a group of people that just feel like they're not welcome in the church, in your place, because something other than Christ has become your center. Right? So the meal offering, the church life should be a meal offering. People should be able to come here and feed, right, on this meal offering. But there's honey there and it fermented. Not so sweet, right? So this is just kind of a word of a warning. Maybe you have the same disposition. We like to stay inside and we're introverted. That could become something that ruins, right? Again, all the same people. Eventually there's a clique. There's a faction there. You see what I mean? So we need to be on guard against that. When we're looking to the Lord to be grouped with somebody, is that the thing that is the center? Maybe we have the same ambition. Maybe it could be to build up our club on our campus, right? We have the same goal. It sounds really good, right? But it might be that if that's your goal and this brother graduates, or this brother decides he's not that interested in that anymore, you might, what's wrong with him, right? What is that? We don't see eye to eye anymore, right? And eventually, there can become fighting there. So I'd just like to impress you. You may say that, you know, this person is so easy to be around, but it might just be because we're naturally the same, right? Actually, probably, I'm not going to say all the time, but very much, it might be. This is my experience. Patrick shared it too. It might be that the Lord knows what you need best is to be grouped with this brother. And he is very different than you. And we'll have a testimony about this. You might say, that person understands me and we're similar, right? We have the same upbringing, so he knows how to shepherd me. And there may be something that is good that a person understands you for the sake of shepherding. But all of that could turn into another center other than Christ, right? So how do we test our relationship? Maybe you're already in a companionship. I don't know. I'm not trying to single anybody out. But maybe you're in one and you're having the realization right now, that's pretty natural. I think that's natural. I didn't know, but it's not that pure. What can we do? How can we test our relationship? Well, first of all, how do we test? This helped me a lot. A brother shared this with us one time. He said, here's how you can know. If you and this person that you think is your companion, the relationship between you, how quickly can you all turn to prayer? Right? It's like, you know, we just got done playing basketball, Matt and I, and it's like, okay, let's read the word, let's call on the Lord, and you're like, oh, Lord. And you just, right away, you just feel like, man, I was fouling him, and I was cheating, you know, whatever, I don't know. But just test, how quickly can you pray? Is it getting harder to pray the more you spend time together in that way, right? Is it getting harder, or is it getting easier? It should be that the Lord, if he's doing this on the drop of a dime. I mean, just you could just pivot at any point in time. You're going this way, and you're considering somebody, and are you gossiping or not? I don't know. And the brother said, let's pray, and there you go. You're praying for that person, right? That's a very good sign. If you can't do that, this is a warning sign. Okay, so what can we do if it's not that good, if it's not that easy to turn to prayer? We got a lot of help fellowshipping about this recently. The number one thing you can do if you want to resurrect that relationship is add Christ. Say that with me. Add Christ. How do you add Christ? Right? Well, pray, for sure. Brother, let's have morning revival. Let's spend more time. Let's read the Bible together. Let's read the ministry. Let's go on the gospel together. Just begin to sprinkle Christ, add Christ into all the elements of your relationship, and you'll begin to find that he is the resurrection and the life. And he'll turn that situation for you. Right? Okay, so add Christ. He'll purify, he'll sanctify. Okay, that's all I have on that point. Oh Lord Jesus, amen. We want to learn, right, to have a proper spiritual companionship. Amen. Actually, the case has been many who didn't receive this help as young people formed the wrong kind of spiritual relationship. It wasn't a spiritual relationship, a natural relationship, and they're no longer among us because of that very thing. They got offended. Maybe this brother got offended, but he's my basketball playing buddy. And if you say that to him, you say that to me, and I'm out too. Right? This can happen, and it has happened. So we all need to be on guard that we're not related to one another in an improper way. So we need companions, but with this word. We need to be related properly, right? So then you may say, well, I'm not going to have companions at all. Well, the Lord says, every branch in me that does not bear fruit takes away. You get cut off. So not having companions, not an option. You have to have companions, right? If you want to be pruned and you want to bear more fruit and you want to enjoy more of the divine life. But when you're being grouped with others, it needs to be in this way. Amen. Okay, so how about sisters? Read point B2. We'll move on. So as you're opening to one another in this way, this should lead to prayer, right? If I open to you, I can't have a heart for anybody right now because all this stuff that's going on in my life. Right? This is really where we can shepherd one another. Well, brother, I don't have any answers for you. I just know that we can cast our anxiety on the Lord. Right? And when we do this, what happens? Right? As soon as we, it says this in Philippians 4, as soon as we let our request be made known, right, with thanksgiving to the Lord, it says that what will happen is the peace of God will come in to guard your heart, mount guard over your heart, right? And your thoughts, right? And you'll have peace. This really is what happens. But many times, I just can't cast this on the Lord by myself. This is another reason that He puts us with companions. So that we can help each other. I don't have a heart for anybody right now. I'm totally swallowed up with my own affairs. Does this not happen to all of us? For sure. This is the enemy's way to keep us from bearing any fruit. That's the anxieties of this life that just choke the seed. But when we take this way, we cast that on the Lord, we get released. And then we find out, well, the problem may not have changed, but it's in the Lord's hands now. And what else can I do, right? And so, amen. In the meanwhile, let's just enjoy the Lord. And by the way, there's somebody I've been thinking about. Now I have room in my heart for another person. So this kind of fellowship, this kind of prayer, is to help one another get released so that we could care for other people. So on this point, I think we have a short testimony from Dietrich and Julian. Brothers, we'll use the sisters' prophesying mic here. And Johnny, okay, good.
So I think we're sharing on point two, is that what it is? Yeah, B2, right here. Did you guys have anything to say? Yeah?
Well, as you can see, we are very different. And even with Johnny, like, inwardly, we're very different. So I didn't pick my companions, but the Lord chose them for me. Right. And it was very sweet because, you know, at the beginning of our companionship, I was like, I really care for them. I'm the oldest. So I had this care for them, you know? But the Lord had to arrange some situations where I realized my love for them, even though it was genuine and, you know, but it was natural. But I didn't know until the Lord showed me, wow, you know, you don't really love Johnny that much or Dietrich. And I realized, Lord, I don't really love them. I can't stand them. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? So, but it's because of this matter of being blended and being... And anyway, so we're very different. So the point is because the Lord really wants a testimony. And I really appreciate, you know, this matter of twos and threes. It's not, the testimony is not just the twos and threes, but actually the testimonies are oneness. Right. And I realized that if the Lord didn't show me that, I would have been able to, like, be one with these brothers. I need to, you know, I had to pass through some dealings to be able to say, Lord, I realize I don't love these brothers. Anyway, so because of this situation, I can, you know, we can be actually open up. And I told them very genuine, like, I can't stand you, or I don't like you, you know, in this matter or whatever. But the Lord has a way to very, you know, to come in and just to be the center, you know. He wants to be the center. Anyway, so that's kind of my experience.
Yeah, it's funny. When I was listening to Robert mention these things about choosing a companion who has a similar interest or similar goal or something like that, I was like, wow, check. I don't have that. Don't have that. Don't have that. It's like me being grouped with these two, apart from Christ, I can't really see anything we have in common, which I guess is a good thing. But it, like he was saying, sometimes it's... I guess it's just been good to see, like, yeah, our being grouped together is like really a way the Lord is shepherding us. And he's bringing us to contact the Lord together so we can contact other people. And I've really found it so helpful because we can pray together and open up to each other. And even there's not always an answer there, but you just, like you said, your heart gets released and then you can go out and contact more people.
We're not the same at all. We're just three completely different people in a lot of ways. There's some things that we do have a common interest in, and that's good. That's good. But something that really touched me, and I remember, it's funny, I was sitting next to Julian during the semi-annual training, and there was a message about, I think it was transformation, our brother James Lee brought out about the human relationships that we have right now. Is it human or is it divine? And I was really touched because, you know, I look right at him and I'm like, I don't know. That's a good point. Is this really natural or is this really divine? And the test of prayer was just the confirmation for me. It's actually really easy for me, even though there's things that they do that I just don't like. You know, it's like, even like maybe like the way they eat their food. You know, it's like... It's like, why is he eating it this way? Come on, use a fork or something, you know, like. But I mean, this is real though, you know, like this isn't fuzzy slippers and unicorns and butterflies. People are people and they will get on your nerves. But the true test of companionship is that you turn to the Lord in the midst of this, that you even give this to Lord because he is truly the source of this, you know. So it's actually so easy for the three of us, even though we'll bring out some like, why do you do this every time? I don't know. Let's just pray. Because at the end of the day, because if you don't know what you're doing, just pray about it. Because at the end of the day, you'll never know, so just pray about it. You know? So just the simple thing is I've just been realizing this companionship, not just us, but all of us here, we need that, number one. Number two, it has to be for the building of the body of Christ. If there's no building here, there's no building anywhere. If you're not going to do it, then who is going to do it? We all need to take up this burden to be companionized. That's new. I never heard that before, so that's good. But, you know, so like companionize, you know, have a companion, pray about it, you know. And this is something that we struggle with, but praise the Lord. Amen. We're doing it together. Amen. Amen.
And I just want to close up with saying, because of these dealings, the Lord has a way to enlarge our hearts and actually care for one another's burdens. Yeah. So we can pray for his mom, for my mom, for his mom, for the people that we're taking care of. And this is all because the Lord is in the midst.
What actually we're finding is that this kind of thing gives the Lord the way in our own being to expose our own preferences, our own dislikes, our own culture, and actually the Lord needs to do something there. And when he does that in a group of people and people see them, it's attractive, right? There's Christ there. Okay, so that was on B2. So read C together. After taking the steps to become blended . So again, we shouldn't just go start contacting people right away. We should spend some time to get built up like this. But, again here, remember, the Lord chose you and set you why? That you would bear fruit. So there's a point here to your being grouped. For a lot of us, it just stops. It feels good. We could just pray together and he cares about me and, you know, maybe she brings me cookies. I don't know. But sometimes it stops there. We forget. The reason the Lord did all of that to begin with is so that you would bear fruit, right? Okay, so anyway, we're going to move a little bit quickly through this point here, but Anyway, I would just like to impress you that you're going to be stirred up probably more than before to preach the gospel by the end of this week. And what is laid out here in the rest of this outlines are some very practical steps. Like you can, step one, do this. Step two, do this. Step three, and follow this. And I would just like to commend this to you. I think the more definite you are about taking this fellowship and practicing what we're about to read, the more the Lord has a way to move where you are, the more the way that the Lord can bless. So anyway, let's read point C1. We should... So Daniel 11 here, it says that the people who know their God will what? Show strength and take action, right? And you were a chosen, there's the other verse here, 1 Peter 2:9. You were chosen, right? So that you were a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people acquired for a possession, so that you may tell out. That's the point, again, why the Lord groups us together. So then C2, I'll read that to you. We should set a definite goal with a strong determination to gain at least one remaining fruit every year. How about that? That sounds pretty definite, right? I would just like to say, let's not leave this up to chance, right? This is why the Lord chose us and set us. So I would say, brothers and sisters, let's put our pen to paper. Let's do this, right? Let's be definite with ourselves. Let's be definite with our companion. Let's be definite with the Lord. It's good sometimes to write things down. Lord, this year, write that. It might be good. You might look at it in 6 months and realize, ooh, I've only got 6 months left, right? And maybe it will help you. So learn. I would say, brothers and sisters, this relates to just your humanity, but learn to set goals and to track your progress. How am I doing, right? No, the Lord praised the sons of this age in that parable in Luke 16. He said, they're more prudent and their dealings with their own generation than the sons of light. So these worldly institutions that are out there trying to gain, they're fishing for men too, right? Are they more prudent than us? We should be definite. We should put a pen to paper. We should make a plan, right? Of course, they don't pray. God's not involved in their enterprise, right? But ours, right? We're praying, but sometimes it just stops. Oh Lord, save some people. And then that's it, right? But actually, we may need to have a plan for how we're going to coordinate with the Lord to do that. Okay, so point C3. Can we read that?
We should make a list of our acquaintances, pray, and seek the Lord's leading, whom we should contact first.
So again, here, be definite, right? This says make a list, pen to paper. Look to the Lord. You're going to know a lot of people, but look to the Lord. Where should I start of all these people? Right, the Spirit is operating in someone. This is why we have to pray. Right, that then the Lord can show us where to start. So then, point C4, it says we should meet with our companions. Look at this weekly, in order to study, to fellowship about, and pray for those whom we're burdened for. So, again, this is about being definite. Consider this to be like your divine enterprise. You have an enterprise, right? I hope you would have like this enterprising spirit to build up something, the church life, your small group, right, where you are. Okay, so just a quick testimony here. I think Matt can say something about these points. Matt from Lancaster, he is on a campus with another brother. It's just two of you, right?
Just two.
Okay, so you want to say something? How about I just give you this mic?
All right. Put it on here. Amen. Hallelujah for companions,
amen.
The God-ordained way. So we first heard about this, the matter of companions, or I should say I first did, two college retreats ago, spring college retreats, and it was on men who turned the age. And we can see this in Daniel, and he had companions, right? So it's very important to gain companions and pray for a companion. And once you have a companion, because the Lord really wants to grant you one, you continue praying. And my companion, like you said, there's only one other brother. We are very different, like the other brothers said, very different. But praise the Lord, that means Christ was the center. And what we began doing right away is praying right away. That's what I remember. That was the spring semester. We didn't really talk too much then, but then that summer we really began praying. We began praying regularly. He would call me a lot, and I'd be like, man, he's calling all the time to pray. And then eventually he stopped. I was like, oh, amen. Then I started calling him every day to pray. So we just built a habit right away of prayer because we really didn't like each other. But in the Lord, we could, you know, we could pray. And now we can boast in the Lord. We pray every day, and sometimes we can have more revival and then pray in the evening. Of course, not every day it works, but we make it a point to pray every day. And of course, what do you say? To pray for one another. I tell you, we pray more for one another than others, it seems. He's just always praying for me and then always praying for him and what's on his heart. And like I said, not only did we pray a lot during summer, but the school semester came around. So we set a time to meet on campus. And then what would happen there? More prayer. We prayed all the time. One time he said, we got to go out. You've already been praying all the time, so we got to go out. But this constant prayer, and I tell you, this really built us together. This is what we could do. We pray so much, and we still pray. So then another thing we did here was we set a goal. This past winter, we set a goal for this upcoming semester. So that would be this past spring. We were going to say, Lord, you got to save five. You got to save five off of Westchester. So hallelujah, we set the goal. And praise the Lord, the Lord was faithful. We weren't so faithful because we doubted a lot. We did not think it was going to happen because we rarely ever went out to actually set the time to preach the gospel. And I think I can only remember doing it once or twice. But we set the goal and we prayed a lot. We made a list of ones to pray for and we prayed for them. The list fluctuated and changed often, but we still set the time to pray. And it was cool because the Lord only saved four. But our last time together was like the last week of school, one of the last days. We went out and we talked to a bunch of people. And we were like, okay, Lord only saved four. That's okay. Praise the Lord. We were walking back to the car and we stopped. We just talked to one, we talked to two more people yet, but the one, and he was saved. And after we've given up, the Lord came through, and he was saved. He saved five. We're like, we're just looking. Well, he did it. The Lord did it. So now, amen, we keep praying. And we set a new goal. And this year is for remaining fruit, that they would remain. We, like he said it here, we got to endure. We really were touched. We got to pray to endure. And just one quick story yet. I was reading the book, Remaining Fruit, and there's this sister. She said, Lord, I'm going to save 10 people. And she was gone, and then she ended up saving eight. And she said, then, Lord, you know, she's like, Lord, there's only eight saved. So now you have to compliment two more to make up for those two that aren't saved yet. And he said, the Lord likes these kinds of prayer. So you set a goal and you endure, and you endure with one another, with prayer, and of course the home. So praise the Lord.
So isn't it helpful? It's not just points on a page. It's actually becoming the experience of some, right? I hope this would encourage you that the Lord is faithful even when we are not. So maybe now the next step, you've got these five people saved. I hope you have their phone number, right? And I hope you and your partner, your companion, would meet. Maybe you would meet once a week. Okay, last week we fellowshiped and prayed about these five people. What's happened since then? Oh, you saw him? How's he doing? Oh, really? He's still hungry? Great. Okay. We should pray about that. You know, you see what I mean? And then you have this kind of a contact. Well, what are we going to do? Let's pray. Okay, now this week, what are we going to do? Well, I'm going to go see him again. I know where he works. I'm going to go see him again and just see if something's still happening with him. Right? And then you do. And next week, we're back together at our weekly shepherding appointment when we consider the people we're caring for. Okay, how did that go? He wants to come to a home meeting. Oh, Lord Jesus, we better pray. Right? I would like to impress you with this kind of a view that this is a back and forth. This is the priest going into the Holy of Holies with these people's names. Lord Jesus, this person, what should we do? Okay, we should. And then we go visit him. And then something happens in that visitation and we get back together and catch me up. What did I miss? How did it go? Now what should we do? I would like to impress you with this kind of a back and forth. Do you not think that those five people will make progress if they're receiving this kind of care, right? Anyway, I don't want to take any more time on this, but I would just like to impress you. We should live that way. We should live that way with companions, people on our heart, praying, going, coming back, praying again, going again. Okay, then point C5, and we'll wrap up. We should not expect quick results, but labor with inexhaustible patience and unceasing intercession. So I would say to Matt, those five, it's just the beginning, right? It takes a while for people to be gained, really gained, right? And so have this kind of view that it wouldn't be quick, but it's going to, actually having the baby is the easy part, right? You can ask the moms. They thought that was hard at the time, but now they have a teenager. And I think they'll really tell you, having the baby was the easy part. Now I have a teenager, right? So realize that that's when the real work begins, and that's when it needs a companionship, somebody to keep me faithful, somebody to help me figure it out. Mom doesn't always know. Sometimes dad, he has the view. It happens, right? So anyway, this is just for your encouragement. And then I think maybe we could stand all together and read the focus. Amen. Okay, let's sit down. Let's pray with our neighbor briefly. Anything that touched us, and then we'll have some announcements.